Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to the guest that we have today. Her name is Suhaiba Neal, and she is from Like a Girl. What a powerful name. I love it. Suhaiba, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, and that one, that's what comes of growing up with all brothers. So the story behind it was I was always told when I played sports, don't do it like a girl. So I'm flipping the script now.
I love the flipping of the script. Well, let's get into it. Give us your origin story, how you got started in Like a Girl. Just give us your background.
Yeah, so the quick version is, like I said, I grew up with all brothers, two older, one younger. Huge sports family. We're in the suburbs of Philadelphia, so big Philly fans, and played probably every sport imaginable when I was younger. And then moved into working in three all-male dominated industries. So men's basketball at the college level, I managed the team. Then I went to the Philadelphia 76ers, actually got my dream job out of college and got to work for the home team for five seasons, which was a whole lot of fun. But again, male dominated, and then joined a family business, which is in residential painting, which now has shifted. But when I joined, I was the youngest and often the only woman in the room. So 20 plus years of that. And I was always very confident. I have a very strong mother. I was blessed to be raised by a very strong African-American woman. So I was like the quiet, confident one. But I know, and I've witnessed, and with my daughter, as you know, young girls growing into young women, there's a lot of challenges with finding your place and being okay with that. So that's kind of where the book came from. And then it launched into a business to spread the message as much as possible.
I resonate with what you said about finding your place. And we spoke really very briefly before I started the podcast, is I went through a lot of what you describe in my university years, I think for a few reasons, because I did feel that the transition, I didn't have the adequate support that I felt I needed. I was nervous to say that I needed the support and just generally did not feel like I belong. And that sense of belonging is huge for young girls. You have so many lessons, 22 of them, in fact. Let's dive right in. Why did you choose Like a Girl? And what do you want young women to know?
So for me, it was about being a female in an all-male space, becoming an advantage and not a disadvantage. So I have a perspective that they don't have, you know, and I have a way of kind of seeing things that's different from the male perspective. And like I said, growing up with a great mom and really, you know, three tough brothers made me tough. Like, I could handle just about anything out in the world because I've been through the ringer already. But what I think the final inspiration for me to finish this book, and now I'm kind of coming to full circle of why this was first and is in the world now, is my daughter going off to college. So when I speak in high schools and colleges, the title of that talk is You Are the Leader of Your Life. So I think through like the end of high school, you're at home, hopefully you have a supportive family around you. But when you step out onto, you know, college campus that freshman year, it's really you. And, you know, obviously my daughter still has me here. She still has the extended family, but she's on her own in a new environment, finding her way. And I think that's the point where, and every woman I've spoken to since the book came out that's kind of 30, 40, 50 plus was like, I wish I had this in my 20s. So that was the goal, was to equip the younger generation with these life lessons that took me 44 years to learn a little earlier on in life, and kind of give them a head start and a jump start on. For me, it's all about being authentic. And like I said in the beginning, being clear about who you are, and owning that and being okay with that. And there's so much pressure now, especially with social media and tech and all of this. Now we see everything, supposedly, that everybody's doing. We really only see the good stuff. But just with all of that, it's, I think, so much harder for young women to find their voice and stay true to it as they navigate through the world. So that was the goal, was to, like I said, give you a little cheat sheet of these are the lessons that I learned and how they've helped me in my life. And hopefully they can help you if you learn them a little sooner.
I want to hone in on the topic that you mentioned. It's you are the leader of your own life. What do you say to young people when you go in to universities, to high schools, and give that speech?
So the first thing is, for a very long time, my definition of leadership was off. And I didn't realize that until, like I said, mid-40s, that, and I don't know why, but if you say leader, I think like Napoleon. And maybe that's because my dad was a history teacher. So we have all those lovely history lessons.
And as a female, it's like, well, I clearly can't be that. But,
yes. And I didn't want to be that. And I was always the quiet one and kind of real shy and reserved. And I didn't think that made a good leader. And then I discovered through a lot of different instances in my life and looking back at things, oh, like I did lead that. And like in high school, I led, and in college, I led. And in all the industries I've worked in, I ended up being on committees and kind of chaired things. And was always kind of the behind the scenes leader a little bit, or the quiet leader, but I still led. And so the first point is, we all have the capacity to lead, and it starts with ourselves. So you have to decide what leadership means for you, what that looks like, and then how does that play out in the world? So I also tease that I'm kind of like the quiet and the introverted one. We need those leaders just as much as we need the loud extroverted leaders. So there's a place for all different types and styles of leaders, and whatever your style is, if you're true to it, I think you can find where you fit well and where you're able to truly shine and be your most authentic self.
How do students respond to that message?
Honestly, probably it's like hit or miss. They're 18, 19, 20. But I think my mom teased when we were younger, she's like, I got 18 years to teach you everything I know and hope that some of it sticks and you remember it later on. But I think also for women in particular, young women, it's just nice to hear someone who's been there, done that, tell their honest and truthful story.
How did you grow into your leadership? Because I love your story of working in male-dominated industries. You would be surprised to know I did too, and I have before, and I know the very unique set of challenges that can come with that. How did you start to know that you needed to shift and change in your leadership journey and become more authentic? Was there a tipping point? Take us to that journey.
I think there were a couple of things that happened within the NBA. When I worked for the Sixers, my first boss was a woman who was like 6'6", and she played college basketball, and she was before the NBA, WNBA was really big, so she didn't end up going WNBA route, but she wanted to stay in the sport. So I had a powerful female influence, so that made it easier in that sense. And the family business is a double whammy, because you're working with family, so it's my dad and two older brothers. So I'm the little sister. But what happened there, I think, is I went in knowing I didn't know anything about the painting industry, and I'm like a lifelong learner, so I wanted to soak up and learn as much as I could. I went to every conference every year that was available and made some friends within the industry. And there's actually a chapter in my book called Just Say Yes. There were people in my life that recognized something in me that I hadn't recognized or seen myself, who pushed me a little bit out of my comfort zone. So I teased that I became president of the residential sector of our national industry in my mid-30s. I would have never signed up for that because I didn't think I knew enough and I was ready for it. But someone who I'm good friends with, who owns a painting company in Boston, saw something in me and encouraged me to do it. So at a few points along the line, there were people who knew me well enough and knew my skill set to say, no, you can handle this and you're ready for this and you should give it a try. So that was really big. And then I kind of had a little bit of an epiphany moment, maybe 10 years into working in the family business, that I was going to be required to step up and lead at some point in a bigger capacity. And I wanted to make sure I defined what leadership meant for me. And that's kind of where all of this started, and like the pre-thinking before the writing came into play of, I'm working with my dad. He's got his own ideas of who I am. I'm working with two brothers. They have their own idea of who I am. I want to be me if I'm going to lead. So I did all of the assessments. I'm not sure if students are familiar with those yet or not, but there are behavioral assessments that tell you how you're hardwired, why you kind of function the way you do. You can do EQ to figure out your self-awareness and social awareness. So I took all the assessments and kind of got a clear picture of who I am at my core. And from there decided, does this make sense to me? Is there something I want to work on? And then kind of really defined what, and that's where the authentic came through. Like, I want to be me every day. I want to show up as myself. I don't want to have to pretend to be somebody I'm not. That's exhausting. And it's just not sustainable. So that was my starting point when I really knew in the family business that I was going to have to lead. And again, I'm working with a lot of the gentlemen that work for us are older than me, you know, and they're all gentlemen. So being really clear about who I am, how I show up, knowing that I have an open door policy, like if you need something, I'm always here. That was how I got into my own space as a leader and what kind of leader I wanted to be. So that's why I brought it back around to get into the college age when you're starting your own journey into kind of adulthood and quote unquote the real world without kind of so many bumpers on the side anymore, of just really getting clear about what you want that to look like for you and then being able to own it. And I think the more of us that do that, especially the more women that do that, the easier it is for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. Shifting gears a little, speaking of that college university age, what was your experience in university?
I had a pretty good one. So I was a bio major, so I was very, very busy. Not a lot of free time with lots of labs and lots of homework. And then, like I said, I managed the men's team. So I'd played basketball my whole life, but kind of ruined my knees. And they tried to get me to play ball. And I said, no, I managed the team instead. And again, one of the things I learned there, and actually it's a chapter in the book, was about delegation. So by the end of my senior year of college, I was the assistant to the head coach of the men's team, who was also the athletic director. And I was really great at getting things done. I was not really great at asking for help.
That sounds like the story of a lot of young women.
And so I had the coach too, where he's like, he would give you an assignment and I would start to ask questions. No, just get it done. I don't care how you do it. Just get it done. So he wasn't really big on like giving extra direction. And so I would do it all myself. And then he feeling like kind of realized like you have these 2-3 other managers you need to start delegating. And I wasn't great at it. So I learned a good lesson. I'm going to have some tips on delegating in the book successfully, because I think that's the other thing sometimes for women especially is like, if I do it myself, I have control and I know what's going to happen. And that's not how you help other people learn to lead as well. You have to be able to learn how to delegate and communicate and you kind of build relationships and trust. So that was a big one that came out of the college years.
Mm-hmm. And control is an illusion at the end of the day. When we think we have control most of the time, we really don't. Authenticity is a word that you've been using a lot, and it's a word that matters so much to us for anybody who's a university student, whether you're male or whether you're female, because in university, oftentimes it's your first opportunity to discover and refine and define who you are without so many of those parental inputs. What was your experience with authenticity for you? How did you start to find it?
For me, again, being quiet, I went to a small school. So I went to a school that only had 1,200 students. And again, like I said, was a bio major. So I spent a lot of time. My kind of core friends were within my major. And then, like I said, when I joined the team and started managing, all of my extra free time was spent, you know, in the gym. So I had some core solid friends, but I wasn't the girl that knew everybody, you know, and I think that's okay. So my daughter is in college right now. She's a junior. She's at the University of Delaware, which is huge. And she has not been to a football game. She has not been to a tailgate. It's just not her thing. So we all have this idea of what we think supposed to happen in college and what college is supposed to be like. And I think, again, that's where the authenticity comes back. There are so many opportunities to find your niche and to find your own little group where you fit in and not have to feel like, oh, I have to be somebody else because I'm here and that's what is expected of me. So I think the external pressure can be tough, but again, getting clear about who you are, and then I always say like attracts like. I'm sure there's somebody else that's feeling the same thing that you're feeling that would appreciate you being honest. So they could be honest, and then you can kind of go from there and kind of build maybe a small little group of friends that is into something else. They actually have a lot of clubs at the University of Delaware. She loves to cook. There's a cooking club. So like you don't have to be the kid that's at the tailgate at 7 a.m., you know, going crazy just because it's college and everybody thinks that's the college experience. So I think there's definitely room to explore for sure. And like I said, get out of your comfort zone, try something new, but then also find that space where you feel most comfortable and most like yourself and be okay with staying in that zone once you find it.
That's so true. What advice did you give her as she was going off to university? I'm sure you took a lot from your book, but what did you say if you could give similar advice to our listeners right now? What would you say?
I think for sure, try something new and different. It's interesting too, because, and this is another lesson learned, she started at a different school. So we went through the whole process. She picked a school that she really thought she liked. We visited, everything felt great. Early decision, she gets in, she gets up there, and within a matter of weeks, she's just not happy. And, you know, it's obvious that she's not happy. So she changed her mind. And, you know, she was going to tough it out and stay around for the whole year. I said, why would you do that? If you know this isn't where you want to be, you have the opportunity to transfer for second semester, freshman year, and be where you are going to stay and finish. Let's just make it happen. So that's the other lesson, is I always tell people, you can change your mind. So you start down a path, then you realize, ooh, this isn't quite what I thought it was. Sometimes you do need to finish what you start, and other times it's okay to pivot and make an adjustment. So in her case, like I said, it was a matter of, ooh, this is not a great fit for me. And I'm not feeling like this is going to be the best place for me to be the best version of myself. And she made that shift. So be willing to try something new, for sure, and be okay with the outcome. And whether I feel like people were so afraid of failure, and it's like, you didn't fail. You tried. You automatically win when you try. So that was my big thing with her, is, you know, try some new things, get out of your comfort zone a little bit, because you never know. Actually, the flip side of the story is another transfer situation. My stepdaughter started at school, was a graphic design major. She had to take a science class to fulfill like a general ed requirement. She took a nutrition class, fell in love with it. They didn't have nutrition as a major where she was. So she did some homework and research, and she ended up transferring schools and is now a certified dietitian and is happy as can be. So if you don't try new things, you can never really figure out where you think you're going to fit best. And I think depending on your parents and your home situation, everybody may think that, oh, you're set out to be this when you grow up. And if you just believe that and don't explore for yourself, you may not discover, oh, maybe this would be a better fit for me. Maybe this would feel more in line with what makes me happy. And I've been there, done that myself in a lot of iterations through my career. And now the work I'm doing doesn't feel like work. And that should be the goal, is to get to a point where, you know, it's just fun, or it's enjoyable, or I call it good tired at the end of the day. So if you're tired at the end of the day, but it's because you did things that you enjoy and it was like good energy, that's kind of what I encourage people to look for.
Mm-hmm. I was saying to a 16-year-old the other day, she was talking to me, oh, worried about things. And she said, well, did you ever imagine that you'd end up doing what you do? And I said, oh, no, this was not even on my radar. And for so many people, that's the case. And particularly for a lot of women, although this is true for men as well, it becomes, I have to do this because I said I would. Otherwise, I'm flaky. Otherwise, I'm irresponsible. Otherwise, I'm too much or not enough. Do you find that?
I do. There's a lot of pressure, I think, unfortunately. And it's interesting because on my website, on the About page, it says, first and foremost, I am me, myself, and I. And like, I struggled to write that. And then I'm like, no, but that's true. And that's one of the issues that so many women face, is you're the daughter, or you're the sister, or you're the mother, or you're the stepmother, or you're the aunt, or you're the niece.
Or and the partner. And that becomes a big thing in university too, is you often become the partner of somebody.
Yeah. So I think, and it's not selfish. I think if you don't put yourself first, who's going to do it? You know, like, so, and coming to terms with that and coming to grips with that and being okay with that, especially for me as a giver, that was really, really hard. But it's necessary. So if I'm not living my best life, and if I'm not feeling fulfilled and I'm not feeling happy, how can I share anything positive with the world? You know, so I think it's really important to get comfortable with being you and being unapologetic about it. I need rest today. I'm not going to the party. I have some homework that I need to do. I'm going to grab takeout dinner, and I'm not going to go to the dining hall, whatever it is, I think. And the more, like I said, that we do it and model it for each other, the easier it becomes for other people to do it. So in my other women's group, which is a little bit older, I was teasing that it's really, really hard to be first. And it's really, really hard to be the only one sometimes, which I've been, and I have female friends who have been the first and the only one. But if we do it together, you're the first over there and I'm the first over here, but we're supporting each other behind the scenes, then it makes it a little easier.
I have a challenging question for you. I ask all of the guests this challenging question. If you were going to give three pieces of advice, they can be related to what we've talked about. They could be completely unrelated to university age students. What would those three pieces of advice be?
I said definitely try something new and step out of your comfort zone. I think that's the one place where you really have the opportunity to explore anything, like take a class that's totally, you know, like I said, I was a bio major and I ended up taking a photography class and fell in love with it. So I ended up with a concentration in photography because I had to take a art requirement. So definitely try something new and different. And just, even if you don't love it, you kind of activate a different side of your brain and open yourself up to, you know, opportunities and possibilities. Number two, I think the sooner and the younger you can become like more self-aware, the easier it is to navigate through the world. So like I said, I just went through and did all of these behavioral assessment certifications and learned all about EQ and self-awareness, and being true to yourself is really the starting point for being able to live an authentic life and also open the door for other people to be themselves as well. And number three, they have fun. So college is that time in your life where, you know, you're away from home, but you're in like kind of not a bubble, but, you know, hopefully a safe and contained space, but where you have the opportunity and the options to, you know, go to a party or go to a basketball game or, you know, take a trip or study abroad. So have fun for sure. Because everybody teases, it's like, can't wait to be grown up. It's not all that fun to be grown up.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Don't do it too quickly.
Yeah. So just really like make the most of it and really enjoy yourself as much as you can. Because once you're out on the other side and into the professional space, it's definitely not as easy. And you're not going to be in a place where that many people that are the same age as you, that have similar interests to you, and where you have the options and the opportunity to kind of go out and do some fun and interesting things.
I love that. I have another challenging question for you. Is there a mantra, a quote that you live your life by, and why?
I do. And actually, it's funny because I'm thinking about it. I might have to go on the back of a t-shirt soon. I'll have to see about trademarking it. So stay clear, stay focused, and stay strong. That's been, I have a little like post-it on my computer that's been there for God knows how long, probably a decade now. And that's for me. Stay clear about who I am and what my kind of goal is at any given moment. Stay focused because it's easy to get distracted and off course. And then the stay strong is, again, with the external world, especially as a young woman. Like, no, this is what I said I was going to do. This is how I want to do it. And I'm going to stick to it and not let the world kind of sway me. So
I love that. As we wrap up here, is there anything in particular on your heart, your mind, your spirit that you really want to say to university aged people?
Well, it's interesting. And I think we talked about this a little before we even got started. The book is written for young women from a woman's perspective. But I also tell people that it applies to gentlemen as well. And one of the things that really needs to happen for women to be our authentic selves is for gentlemen also to like give us that space and to realize that, oh, maybe I need to pipe down when she's speaking up, or I need to acknowledge and accept. And, you know, just, I think, again, for me, what kept coming up this year was awareness and how we all kind of are aware of our space in the world and how we kind of convey that to everyone else. So just elevating the level of awareness for both genders will make it easier, I think, for women to find their authentic voice and keep it. That's the goal, is find your voice and then not lose it.
And conversely, it helps our men get their authentic voices as well. And as a woman, I can say very, very clearly, if you're dating, if you're single or in a different sort of relationship that maybe I have not learned about yet because I don't get on TikTok, it's so, so, so important to show up as your authentic self, whether platonically or romantically. And we want that, right? Both genders want that. So I love that you brought up that distinction. If someone is inspired by you, inspired by your message, they want to learn more, where can they find you?
So my website is Like a Girl and then the number 22. That was actually the jersey number I wore when I played sports, which is where that came from. And there's all kinds of resources and links. You can find the link to the book there. It is on Amazon as well. But it's a full website with all kinds of stuff. And actually, I have a weekly newsletter that's all about leadership. It's very short and sweet. So if you're there, you can also sign up. And every Friday, you'll get a little short, sweet newsletter. Right now, I'm working my way through all the lessons and then also kind of just writing what comes to me. I'm one of those people I tease that I'm like kind of an organic writer. So I can't sit down and write 30 newsletters in one day. That's just not how my brain works. So it's always kind of in real time for me. And I use still my life lessons as they kind of unfold to hopefully, like I said, turn the light bulb on and then kind of encourage and inspire others to really define what leadership means for them and live that full and authentic life.
As an organic writer, I too do not understand the 30 newsletter a day people. I have incredible respect for them. I'm just never going to be one of them. So same there. I have had the most wonderful time chatting with you. You have so many insights. I love your openness and your authenticity. I'm going to use your own word, your authenticity, and just sharing everything that you've gone through and how you're preparing not only your daughter, but really young women and young men as well around the world to really step into their leadership potential. So we are so grateful that you took your time and energy to be here.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.